Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. My name's David Reed, and this is Marek Larwood. Hello, Marek.
Hello, David. Hello, listeners.
Welcome to the show. We're going to be talking about films for a brief period of time, and then we're going to fuck off out of your lives. But we've watched a film in the cinema.
Yes.
And an old film that is available on streaming services at the same time.
I went to see Julieta at the cinema.
Now, I looked at this. It looked quite good, or at least it was made by good people. I couldn't really tell much.
Well, before I start, I want to draw attention to some very bad cinema behaviour.
Oh.
So I was in the cinema, my Crouch End Picture House, my favourite cinema. Always sitting at the back, on the back. There was people sitting sporadically around, scattered around the cinema.
Right.
A couple came in 3 minutes into the film. And sat, I mean, there's lots of rows empty. I'm at the back, about three or four rows ahead of me, there's a couple sitting in the middle. There's not many seats in the rows. The couple came in and sat directly in front of the couple in the row. And there's no one else sitting on either row,
yeah.
on either bit.
Etiquette dictates you sit slightly to one side.
Yeah, and then the couple immediately got up and moved
a
seat to the right. But it was such arsehole.
Yeah, yeah.
They could sit any one of those places. I thought these people should immediately be killed.
Well, they probably should be. I think that would be fair and balanced.
What sort of person?
I know, it's odd, isn't it?
Just thinks, oh, this row's completely empty, and the row in front is completely empty.
Do you think it was malicious, or do you think they just wanted to sit direct centre of the screen?
I think some people don't act, are so unaware of other people, but you've still got to be an arsehole to think that.
Well, I think being completely unaware of other people makes you an arsehole regardless of your motivations.
What I'm trying to say is, should I have taken action?
No, you should not have shot them up in a cinema.
It's been done before,
and it doesn't help anyone.
I felt frustrated for the couple. These people got away with this behaviour. And they're not the sort of people who listen to film podcasts either.
Well, I wouldn't have thought so. Because all of our listeners are the highest quality of people that...
They are some of the most intelligent.
Oh, but they did an emotionally intelligent as well.
Yes,
Marek.
They just understand.
They get it.
Isn't this? They're not on the spectrum. They are people who you could happily leave your children with for the evening.
Yeah, at short notice, having never met them before, and you would know that they're fine.
You wouldn't even worry, and they come back more educated.
If anything, you know, you'd want to leave them there.
You'd leave your children with these people. They come back more educated and cleaner. They'd all been washed down.
And you feel guilty taking your own kids home because they would have had a better life with the Film Fandango listeners.
And the children say, listen, sorry, Dad, but I don't want you to be my dad. I want to be shared around the listenership of the Film Fandango day by day. We could almost enough to get a whole year's worth.
Mm.
And then a year later, the child would come back. Well, that's a prodigy.
I mean, if only there was a way we could harness this essence of goodness that we've managed to find in the world.
If you would like to help raise our imaginary child, why not donate?
Why not tell us that by donating some money to the Film Fandango cause?
By going to the Film Fandango website and clicking on donation. Otherwise, the child will die.
The child will die. This took an odd turn. I wasn't expecting this.
So back to the film. Yes. I went to see Julieta. It is Pedro Almodovar's latest film, the infamous Spanish writer and director.
Yes.
He's done works. I've tried to watch All About My Mother. I started to watch The Skin I Live In, which I hated.
Oh, really?
And he's another one like I'm So Excited, Volva, Talk to Her is quite famous. I've never really watched Tie Me Up, Tie Me Down. You may have seen some of those. I've never really watched them because I've thought, this sounds a bit, this is going to sound racist.
What is it, Con?
It's a bit too Spanishy.
Spanishy?
Do you know what I mean?
No. What was what?
Too Spanishy.
Too Spanish? But how Spanish? In what sense?
Like too Spanish.
Like had loads of bulls and like loads tapas of bulls in it.
Tapas, flags everywhere, and no pausing in sentences.
They do speak fast as a people.
I was trying to remember my GCSE Spanish while watching this.
Right.
I realised all the words slurred together because rather than "and," they just say "e." They just slur.
Yeah. I used to speak Spanish.
This sounds terrible, but I would much prefer the Spanish if they just had paused.
If they were a bit more like Eeyore rather than like Tigger.
Yes, please.
If they were just a bit quieter, they hated themselves a bit more.
Yes.
And just had the excitement punched out of them.
More English.
If there could be more English, please.
And these are the sort of views. These sort of mildly racist views.
Yeah.
Are the ones that take this country back to the empire,
basically 1950s. I mean, there's 2 million British people living in Spain, apparently, something like that.
But anyway, I put those views aside.
Sure.
I really enjoyed it.
Oh, good. What's it about?
So it's a story of I'll just tell you the bit in that they do in the trailers. So a lady, she's in her 50s or so. She's about to leave Madrid.
Madrid.
How do they say it? Madrid.
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 I learned Spanish in Peru, so I don't have the th. I don't really get that. Madrid.
I got an A for my GCSE Spanish, but mostly by just doing the accent.
What did you talk about?
¿Dónde está el parque metro? Where is the parque?
Aquí.
Yeah, aquí. Oh, no lo sé. I can't remember.
Did you have to do the th in your exam?
When I did my French and Spanish GCSE exams, yeah. I just did a lot of the sound in the oral exams.
Yeah,
just got through by just making the sounds. So in the French, you just go, c'est de l'or, just make it
sounds like you're a conversational.
Yeah,
French
so
speaker.
you just do all the sounds and the grunting, and that can fool a lot of examiners.
Well, it turns out I always in Spanish thought, well, if I didn't know the word for something, I would just think, what's the ponciest English word for that, and then sort of Spanishify it, and usually it's right because our poncier words come from the Latin, so it's usually correct. And Spanish is it's a language that knows its rules. It very rarely deviates from them, you know, straight down the line. See why they liked fascism for so long. You know, they knew the rules and they stuck to them.
This is a very controversial. Well, I expect we're going to be losing six of our Spanish listeners.
I don't think so. I mean, you can't deny that they just let Franco, their fascist dictator, die of old age rather than getting rid of him.
Oh, was it 80s? 70s?
Yeah, just carried on with fascism.
Well, there's no fascism in this.
Good.
But, so, she's about to move to Portugal with her partner, but she's got a secret, and she bumps in to one of her daughter's old friends in the street. And then it flashes back to the 1980s and tells the story. It looks exquisite.
Yeah?
It looks great. It's go and watch this in the cinema.
There was a photo I saw of it, a publicity still from it, and it looked like an origin story for Absolutely Fabulous. I don't know if that's something that comes across
so the actresses,
actually watching it.
The main, the protagonist is played in her later life by Emma Suarez, you might recognise from lots of Spanish films I've seen before.
All the Spanish films.
Everything Spanish. And the younger version of her, I have to confess I did fall in love with, called Adriana Ugarte.
Oh, yeah.
Some people, sometimes you get faced with this, the camera just loves it.
Yeah, yeah.
She just looked great, and she changed, and you see her life in the sort of 80s and even sort of 70s, and the first part takes place on a train, and it's so beautifully shot, and it's, you don't know what's happening, it's quite quirky, it feels like it's got a magical otherworldly edge to it, even though it's set in reality.
Yeah,
there's something quite odd and quite mythical about it. I can't really explain.
Oh, his buddy, look. Hello,
buddy's
buddy.
Buddy's come back from his walk. What did you think of the film, buddy?
He's gone.
Oh, thanks, buddy. I very much enjoyed it.
How many Marics?
Eight
Marics.
It's one of the best films I've seen this year.
Brilliant.
Just feels inventive. It's just a story which doesn't really. It's actually quite tightly done. It's sort of nicely. It brings you right back to it's a retrospective that comes back into the point where you started.
Right.
Does
it work with the two actors playing the same
the
person?
The transition between the old. It's got one of the greatest transitions between the old young actress and the new actress in one scene.
Is she in a revolving door?
No, but
he just comes out old.
No,
Is it in a phone box?
Yeah,
she
puts
goes
her
in.
Hand and she does a put in front of her face, and no, it's, I won't tell you how it's done.
I rewatched Mission Impossible 3.
Should I tell you how it's done?
Yeah, do.
She's drying, her children are drying her hair, and they're drying her face, and then the towel comes up and she's the older actress.
Can that happen?
Yes.
If your kids dry your face?
If you let your children dry your face, don't let them rub too hard, or they will take 20 years off it. I forgot to take the sandpaper out of it!
There's a great bit in Mission Impossible 3. I rewatched and I've forgotten about this bit where, you know, in their world, they have those rubber masks that just make you look exactly like someone else, as in you're played by another actor.
Yeah.
And the usual thing to do is they put a rubber mask on Tom Cruise and they're fiddling with it, and then the camera goes behind his head, and by the time it's on the other side, it's now the other actor.
Yeah.
Well, they do a very smug thing where he's dressing up as Philip Seymour Hoffman. So he has a rubber Philip Seymour Hoffman mask and they're fiddling with it and making it go. And the camera does exactly that move. It goes behind his head. And you go, okay, it's going to be Philip Seymour Hoffman by the time it reaches the other side. And by the time it reaches the other side, it's still Tom Cruise in a rubber mask, and they slowly transition between that and Philip Seymour Hoffman right in front of your very eyes.
Okay.
So they sell you the dummy that it's they're going to do it the old-fashioned way, and they go, no, we can do it with more clever ways now. And it's really good. That's the best bit of that film, where Philip Seymour Hoffman's doing stunts because he's Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Good old Tom Cruise.
Good old Tom Cruise, eh?
Go and watch this if you want to see it. I thought it people are saying it's him back towards his best, which, not really knowing much of one of our films, I couldn't tell you, but I very much enjoyed it, and it really made me want to go and have a glass of wine in Spain. I love the Spanish now.
Don't overegg it. I mean, I did believe you for a moment.
Did you? Is that convincing?
It's now you're like a politician making an apology.
I would be a really good politician. Oh, what should we do now?
I think it's time for this. Lots of people do like writing letters, and one of those people is Martin Appleyard. And he says, "Hello David, Marek and Buddy. I understand from episode 250 that due to his lack of effort and general tardiness, Chris Webb has been sacked from his job as your number one fan."
Oh, this is before I read out, if you listened to last week, Chris Webb
did reply.
Yes.
Well, this is Martin's attempt to...
Who I mentioned last week is the fastest coming, yes.
He's trying to knock him off the top spot. Martin says, "Can I therefore submit my application to replace him? I have listened to every episode right from the Absolute Radio pre-Marek days. I've sent in several letters over the years with various discussion points and have an IMDb score of 28. It's pretty decent. If it wasn't for Spirited Away, I'd be in the 50s. Like Marek, I am bald and over 40. And like David, I am from Yorkshire and have a pet. But that's where the similarities end. Because I do have a successful career. Hey, fuck you, Martin Appleyard.
Hey, fucking prick.
My favourite movie is Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Oh, there we go.
And we discussed that.
We did. We really should have read this last week.
But Chris Webb doesn't like Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
I mean, they are.
This is almost as if Martin... Is Martin Appleyard a
evil
creation
Chris
of Chris Webb?
Webb?
It is incredible.
Yeah. They're like Mario and Wario.
But he mentions...
One just has an upside down moustache.
Martin Chris... The whole of Chris Webb's letter was how much he hated Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Well...
Well, continue, please.
He says, if you have any questions or need further information to assess my suitability for this role, please let me know. Keep watching the films, Martin Appleyard. Well, I would say the listeners need to decide.
I think we should do a poll.
Are you Team Appleyard or Team Webb? And please, send your responses in.
We should do. Can you do a poll on Facebook or Twitter?
You could do one on Twitter, but it people would need to go searching for it. I don't know. Does that work?
Why not? We'll do it on Twitter.
Okay, we'll do it on Twitter. Keep an eye out for the Chris Webb or Martin Appleyard number one fan top spot. Hey, and if you want to submit yourself to get... I mean, you've not emailed in, so you clearly don't care that much. But we will pick our number one fan via Twitter. It's begun.
This is incredible. Appleyard versus Webb.
Webb. It's the fight of the century,
I think.
It's
like Batman versus Superman.
It is a bit like that, but good. It's like I'm actually invested in this.
Here is another letter. Okay. Hi, Mark and David. I'm going to suggest you both... this is from Jack Cooper. I'm going to suggest you both check out the Coen Brothers written and Sam Raimi directed Crime Wave. There's a 50-50 chance you'll either hate it or inexplicably find yourself oddly enjoying despite your better judgment like I did. But there's a 100% chance you'll give it loads to talk... It'll give you loads to work on the podcast. Secondly... Whilst I agree that Locke is a great film, my girlfriend and I almost turned off because Hardy's Welsh accent was so bad. I was quite surprised to hear zero criticism of his accent by you, and the only conclusion I come to is that you don't spend enough time around Welsh people. I'm Welsh, and to my ears, it is so, so bad. But despite the initial distraction, my girlfriend and I quickly got over it and really got into the film. Even more a testament to how good that film is. He sent a letter in a few weeks ago. We might have not read it out. Sometimes we forget to read them out,
it's complicated.
Yeah, we try and read everything out, but sometimes we just don't. We do it on our phones, and we accidentally delete stuff.
That's true.
Or miss stuff out. So we really apologise. We haven't read your email out.
That's interesting about Locke, isn't it? Because firstly, I feel I spend exactly the right amount of time around Welsh people, which is very rarely.
I had my friend who's Welsh, said, who listened to the podcast about Locke, said exactly the same
really
thing.
Really, it's bad.
His accent
it
ruined the film for them.
I mean, it sounds Welsh to me.
I can't tell, so I understand that it must be awful.
I mean, he's basically just doing this, isn't he?
Just do that.
Oh, Welshman.
Just to finish the letter off, oh, and one more thing. I just watched Moonrise Kingdom yesterday. I'm doing it in Welsh now. I'm doing it in a bad Welsh accent. And I think the reason I liked it and had them on watch list was because you recommended it. Absolutely loved it. 5 Jack film. One of the most enjoyable films I've seen in a long time. Thank
five.
You, it was you.
That's
keep
crap.
Viewing the movies, Jack. He must have a 5-star system.
It's not the same as the Marek system or the David system. Okay, fine. 5
we
Jacks
do,
is good.
We do 10. Should we have one more letter?
Why not?
It's Philip Lashurney.
I'm being attacked by Buddy, so I'll try and read this out, but you might hear some panting into the microphone. Phil says, Dear David Marek and Buddy Lechien, bonjour tout le monde, insert French accent if you want. Zut alors, there is often un bloody scene in the films what spoils it for the test of the film. This is weird.
What the...
Do you agree? For example, Tarantino acting tough and being racist in Pulp Fiction, Tarantino being Australian in Django, Silver Surfer in Crimson Tide, what? The Chinese bloke in Fargo. Do you agree? Any others come to mind? Please, please keep regarding the films.
What was the question?
Philippe off Eastbourne. If there's often a bloody scene in the film that spoils it for the rest of the film, for example, Tarantino being tough, acting tough and being racist in Pulp Fiction.
Oh, okay.
When's he racist?
Scenes that...
He does say the N-word a lot, doesn't he? Or being a weird Australian in Django Unchained.
Yeah.
So is his question really, is there often a scene where Tarantino spoils a film?
In Dusk Till Dawn, he's quite good.
Yeah.
But I do think in Django Unchained it feels really weird.
Well, just because the fact that he's made himself sort of a cult of personality. As in, Quentin Tarantino is a brand. And so the fact that he isn't an actor, he's always just playing a version of himself, to suddenly come on with an Australian accent, really jarring. Especially since we haven't seen him in anything since he was quite skinny, and he's really fat in Django Unchained. So it's so distracting. To the point of it does bring you out of the reality of it all, and it gets a bit... It falls apart towards the end, that film, I think.
I agree, that's weird.
Yeah. Is there other scenes that take you out of the film?
Can't remember.
No. I can't think. Can't think.
Have you been to see a thing or seen a thing?
What?
Have you seen a thing, mate?
Oh, I've seen a thing, yeah. I've been watching some more things on Netflix, tracking down some old things, seeing if anything catches my eye. And I watched... The Island of Dr. Moreau, which is an H.G. Wells story that's been made into quite a few films, none of which have been good. But this one is, I'm just looking up the date now. It stars Michael York in the lead role.
From Logan's Run?
Michael York! And his Basil Exposition in the Austin Powers films. And it's also got Burt Lancaster as Dr. Moreau.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you know this story, but it's about a shipwrecked dude who ends up on a remote island that's miles away, isn't in the middle of the Pacific, it's miles away from anywhere. And the only inhabitants of this island are a strange doctor who's doing medical experiments, a mercenary who acts as his bodyguard, and weird things that live in the jungle.
Oh, it doesn't sound very nice.
No, well, turns out, everyone knows this because it's a famous H.G. Wells thing, Dr. Moreau is doing experiments on animals, injecting them with human DNA so they turn into animal people. So there's a bear man and a tiger man and a boar man.
Oh, no, not boar man. Let's do him again.
Boar man. God, boar man.
Oh, what is it now, boar man?
Well, actually, it's quite interesting fact.
Oh, I've got the M4 on. Okay. We stopped off the services. It's,
My friend Kevin always says to take the A1M, but no, I mean, he's completely wrong about that. So
is that what boar man's like?
He's really like that, yeah. And so there's lots of wild animals and also these people. And he's trapped on there with this host, basically. But this film is made in the 70s, and it's not very good. Like, it's fine. But what's fascinating is there's fights between man animals and real live animals. Like, there's a fight with a tiger and a man, a poor fucking theatre actor. All of the animals are so theatre. They're all like...
I can imagine a phone call. Okay, Tom, she's got you an acting job. Yes!
Yes!
It's going to be in a film. Yes! You're going to play Boar Man. Yes!
The man who plays...
You've got to fight a live tiger. What?
What? Like, the man who plays Bull Man fights the tiger, and this is his photo on IMDb, is actually him. And it's... You go, how the hell was that safe? I'm showing Marek a photo of it now. I read an extract where apparently the tiger did put his head in its mouth, but luckily the costume was made out of a crash helmet. I mean, it descends this thing. There's just panthers leaping through wooden walls, and they're clearly just being thrown through walls of buildings and stuff. It gets properly like... What the hell am I watching here? Like, and and it brings on a sort of life of its own. The film itself is weirdly a bit shit. Michael York's so good. Like, I can watch him in anything. And Burt Lancaster's excellent as well. Yeah. You know, he's properly, properly good. But it's a weird film. It's a weird, weird film.
And it's on what, Netflix, is this?
Yeah, yeah, I think it was Netflix I watched it on. Yeah. But it is just this island full of theatre actors trying desperately to act through very heavy character makeup.
Great. It does look fascinating.
Yeah. What's more fascinating, because I've heard of this story and I'd never seen it, and I just saw this and was like, okay, H.G. Wells, you know, writes good stuff. There's a more interesting version in the 90s that is famous for being one of the worst shoots of any film ever made. And it has Val Kilmer in it, and Marlon Brando plays Dr. Moreau. And Val Kilmer was supposed to play the Michael York character, and he hated Brando so much that during the shoot, he just said, no, I want his part instead, and chose to play the mercenary bodyguard instead, so he didn't have as many scenes. And so, last minute, in the middle of filming, they had to just wipe everything they'd shot already and helicopter David Thewlis in to play the lead role, even though David Thewlis wasn't a famous actor. But, and read about the making of that. There's a documentary about it, because apparently it was just such utter chaos.
And it was terrible film, wasn't it, apparently?
Yeah, absolutely dire. But just when you have two colossal assholes like Val Kilmer and Marlon Brando in the same film together, and the poor people who are in heavy character makeup having to just wait for these two to make up their mind what they're doing.
God.
You sit there being attacked by a bear. It's fascinating because it's H.G. Wells. You know, there's War of the Worlds which they've made good stuff out of.
They've never done the Time Machine, have they?
They did. There was
the old 50s
Samantha
version.
Mumba and...
oh, really?
And what's his name? Guy Pearce. They
Samantha
did a Time Machine.
Samantha
Mumba. I think it was Samantha Mumba. I might be making that up. But
no,
Guy,
I think you're right.
Guy Pearce was definitely in the Time Machine. But no one's made an actually good film out of The Island of Dr. Moreau. Is it? It's Mark Addy. Is it Samantha Mumba? Have I just completely made that up?
I remember.
It's Samantha Mumba.
Yeah.
It is Samantha Mumba. Yeah, in The Time Machine from 2002.
5.9 on IMDb.
Did you see it?
No,
me neither. It looked crap. I mean, Jeremy Irons plays Uber Morlock.
He makes some odd choices, Jeremy Irons.
Yeah.
Well, so worth watching.
You know what? Not really. There's a very interesting thing with the ending as well, which I won't spoil, but watch the director's cut, and then you'll see what I mean, because there's something interesting there. But I would say its only interesting points are to see Michael York doing sterling work. He's really watchable and great. Burt Lancaster's good in the role, but it's more fascinating just from a sort of animal safety point of view. It's just like you genuinely feel like you're watching chaos at times. And that is sort of exhilarating in and of itself, you know.
Cool.
Yeah. But there you go.
How many David?
I think I'd give it 6.
I saw a good film when I play.
Yeah.
About a set in the turn of the century Swedish film called Everlasting Moments. It might still be on BBC iPlayer. But a lady who had an abusive husband, and she sort of turns to photography after she makes friends with this other photographer, sort of very early sort of doors photographers, to start taking photos of all the sort of poor people.
Yeah, yeah.
Very, very good. 8 marks. That's my little tip.
What's it called?
Everlasting Moments.
Everlasting Moments. All right.
Well, but like these moments.
These moments go on for fucking ever.
All right, mate.
Everlasting Moments.
Everlasting Moments. Why not tell us your...
No. We'll get on to Apple Yard versus Web. That's the
Apple
exciting
Yard
thing to remember.
Apple Yard versus Web.
Apple Yard versus Web.
Buddy's getting excited already.
He is.
That's about it, isn't
that
it?
That is about it. If you'd like to write to us, please do. Go to filmfandango.com and click on the contact form, and we'll get that. And we do all of this for free.
I've done all that already.
Have you done all that?
Early doors, I think.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You didn't say the website, but it's filmfandango.com.
Oh, you can donate at filmfandango.com. Why not write a review I've listened to other podcasts and they bang on about all this other stuff. Yeah. I'm saying, write a review on iTunes.
If it's a good review, that'll help us. Because I feel it's the same guys we're talking to every week. Do you get that feeling? I feel it's the same.
Gradually less people.
And they're some of the best people on earth.
Well, it's established that.
We have. But I'd like to find more good people. I'd like this to be the Jesus of podcasts.
Jesus.
Jesus. How do you say keep watching the films in Spanish?
Keep a watch on the film.
You aced your GCSE. Keep watching the films.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.